The clothes on your back right now is because of the grace of God.
Amen.
The breath in your lungs, the food in your belly. Amen?
Yep.
It's all part of the grace of God. Take your Bibles with me to 1 Kings chapter number 11. 1 Kings chapter number 11. I'll be short and sweet this evening. This is an interesting passage of Scripture to me that we're going to read here tonight. It's an interesting thing that takes place. And I enjoy reading about the patriarchs of the Bible, and I enjoy primarily reading about Solomon. It's interesting to me that God would grant this man wisdom greater than any other man's. That something about that particular event, that dream that God showed to Solomon, where he offered him anything he wanted, and Solomon asked for wisdom, and so God gave it to him. God said that there was not a man that walked the earth before Solomon that was as wise, and there would not be a man to walk the earth after that was as wise. And still yet, in the midst of all that wisdom and all that power and all that rule and all that authority, he fell into an apostate state in his old age. He got away from God. He backslid on the Lord. And he fell away from the things of his father David. And we learn a little bit of that in this 1 Kings in chapter number 11. And it's interesting to me because we can look at this particular passage of Scripture and it gives us somewhat of an inside look as to how these things happen in the life of Solomon and how we as Christians can fall away from God each and every single day of our lives. See, there's not a one of us too big to fall. Amen? And this passage of Scripture is interesting to me. It talks about Solomon's heart, and he makes mention in this fourth verse and phrase. It says, "And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God." I find that interesting, and I began to think, Brother Larry, before we read this Scripture, you know, if something is wrong with our physical, literal heart, I'm not talking about our soul, I'm not talking about our emotions, I'm not talking about what the Bible would call, you know, down in our bowels, our innermost man, I'm talking about our literal, physical, four-chambered, beating heart right here in our chest. If there's something wrong with that thing, we're going to do everything that we can to get it right. Amen?
Good. Amen.
You know, if something's wrong with your heart, you're going to be taken somewhere. You have a hole in your heart. They're going to do something about it. They're going to open you up. They're going to perform surgery. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. And I thought to myself this, what if we as Christians were as concerned spiritually
Amen.
With the shape of our heart and the shape that our heart is in? See, it doesn't affect us physically. It doesn't affect us outwardly, so many times we don't give it very much thought. But on the inside, we have so many heart problems, we can barely do anything for God.
Amen.
The Bible says in 1 Kings in chapter number 11 and verse number 1, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, the women of Moab, the Moabites and Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, and the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all the strange wives which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord, of God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. And he had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but that he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, Forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant." If the Lord will help me for just a few short moments here this evening, I'd like to look at this Scripture and just point out four or five things that we see that are wrong with Solomon's heart in this passage. And I'd like to preach on this thought: the heart of the problem. The heart of the problem. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. God, we thank you so much for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. We thank you that although we stumble, although we fall, although we do things that are unholy and unpleasant in your sight, Lord, you give us grace, you give us mercy. And God, I pray that you help us tonight, Lord, as we examine ourselves and our own hearts and as we look at this man Solomon in the Scriptures, Lord, that your Holy Ghost might show us truths from your Word as to how we can prevent ourselves from finding ourselves in that place where we can only look up in repentance, Father, but rather that we might keep ourselves in the love of God and keep us in a place where we can be used. Lord, I pray that you help me to communicate the message you've given me tonight with power, with love, with a sound mind. Empty me of self, fill me with your Spirit. And God, I pray that you give us something from the Scriptures and the preaching of your Word tonight. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Many of things are mentioned in this 11th chapter of the book of 1 Kings, and many of things that we see, I'm sure that as we were going through the Scriptures, you saw things and there were red flags that were popping up all through the Scripture, things that Solomon had done, things that were uh-ohs or things that were no-nos, so to say, as we were reading through the Scriptures, things that Solomon knew better than to do, but he did them anyways. And I sometimes think it's funny, Brother Larry, that many a times we read through the Scriptures and we're critical of those in the Scriptures, and many a times we forget that us ourselves are guilty of the very same mistakes that these people make in the Bible. Amen? It's there as an example. It's there as a guiding light. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And we learn many a times from the experiences of others, from people that have gone on before us and through the Scriptures, this account of Solomon and his state with the Lord and the shape that his heart is in is to help us, I believe, to prepare us and to prevent us from getting to a place where our heart is in the wrong place with God. The Bible says that his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. You say, what kind of things were they, preacher, that kept Solomon's heart in the wrong place? First and foremost, he was influenced by his sin. He was influenced by his sin. The Bible says this, "For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods." And if you're familiar with what we had just read in the second verse there, the Bible tells us that the God of Israel had told them already, he says, don't take these tribes to wife, don't get yoked up with these people, don't get mixed in with these people, because they're going to end up turning you into a place where you're worshiping idols and where you're worshiping false gods. And wouldn't you believe it, but what God said would happen is exactly what happened. Many of people, they want to try the Lord, they want to test the Lord, they want to put it to the test. My friend, I can tell you right now, if it's in this Scripture, if it's in this book, if it's right there on these pages, it is so. Amen. And God told Solomon, he said, you're not going to take these wives, you're not going to do these things, you're not going to take them to wife, and you're not going to let your men take them to wife. But he didn't listen, and here we find him now, and his heart has been turned away from God. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians in chapter number 15, verse number 33, it says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good matters. Your sin will influence you.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if it's just a little bit of sin, if it's a whole lot of sin, if it's a wide open sin, or if it's a secret sin. The sin in your life will find you out, and it will influence you, and it will change you. It will turn you into someone that you're not. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. The Bible says in the 13th proverb, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And you say, preacher, are you sure we're talking about the same man here? Are you sure we're talking about the same Solomon? Because didn't God say that he'd give Solomon that wisdom to lead so great a nation, that he'd give Solomon such great wisdom and grace and power to be the leader of this nation? That's exactly the same Solomon that we're talking about. You say, preacher, my sin won't influence me. I've been teaching Sunday school for 30 years now. Preacher, my sin won't influence me. I've been called to preach. I've been ordained. I've stood in pulpits all over this country and I've preached. Preacher, I've ran the bus for years. I've sang gospel music for years. I've been coming to church for 50 years now. My sin isn't going to influence me. The Bible says this, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore him in such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. It does not matter what your pedigree is in here this evening.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what your church or your religion background is in here this evening. We're all made out of the same wicked, ungodly, rotten flesh.
And that sin, that flesh is going to lust against that spirit. It's going to fight against the things of God. And it's always going to do its best to let that sin in our life. See, sin is not an event, okay? Now, there are sins, there are manifestations of that sin nature that you have that are events and particular things that you do. But sin itself is not an event. It is an existence. And it is something that is woven throughout every fiber of your and my being. And that sin will try to rear its ugly head any way that it can in your life. And it's going to do its best to influence you. And God gave direct orders to Solomon as to what to do and what not to do. And Solomon disobeyed. And so his sin influenced him. Not only was he influenced by his sin, I want us to look down into verse number 6. He was incomplete in his surrender. He was incomplete in his surrender. The Bible says this, "And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father." That's an interesting statement that God makes in that passage of Scripture. He says that he went not fully after the Lord. One of my heroes, I had the privilege of hearing him preach this week, Dr. Fred Christian, when he was teaching the Bible school there at Taze Valley that I went to, he made a statement one night while he was teaching, and I'll never forget it. He said, "God never calls anyone to partial obedience." You won't find one place in the Scriptures where God commands or asks of someone to be partially obedient to His will. You know what God's looking for? He's looking for complete and total surrender. He's looking for us to lay down everything. He's looking for us to offer everything on the altar of sacrifice to Him. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 12, "Brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." I heard a preacher preaching one time. He said, "We ought to change the names of these hymns that we sing. We sing, 'I surrender all.' We sing, 'Trust and obey.' But what we really mean is, 'Some to Jesus I surrender, and trust and obey when it's convenient.'" That's the modern day Christianity that we live in today. It's a weekend Christianity. It's something that only goes superficial or skin deep, and that's not anything that God can use to change this world. God is looking for men. God is looking for women. He's looking for boys. He's looking for girls that'll sell themselves out to the cause of Christ and be used by God. The Bible says that Solomon went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Partial obedience is the same thing as complete disobedience.
Amen.
I'll say that one more time. Partial obedience is the same thing as complete disobedience. He was incomplete in his surrender. Paul Chappell said, "Backsliding doesn't start when you stop going towards God or when you start backpedaling. He said it starts when you slow down. That's where it all begins."
Amen.
When you put the brakes on, when that screeching halt starts to sound and you're slowing down in your pursuit of God. That's where it all starts. My friend, if we're saved by the good grace of God, the only thing you and I deserve in here tonight is hell.
Amen.
God is worthy of all of our time, all of our treasure, all of our tears, all of our being, everything that we have, everything that we are, we owe it to Him. He went not fully after the Lord. He was incomplete in his surrender. Not only was he influenced by his sin, not only was he incomplete in surrender, I'd like for us to notice in verse number 7, the Bible says this, "Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh." This is the same Solomon who built the temple for the glory of the Lord. The same Solomon who brought in all those grand chariots. The same Solomon who brought those workers from all those places, and he brought in those great cedars from Lebanon, and he brought in all that gold and all that silver and all those precious stones, and he dedicated that house unto the Lord. That very same Solomon who built the temple of God. Now, outside of Jerusalem, before Jerusalem, he's building a temple to a false idol.
Amen.
He's making sacrifice to this false idol. We notice that Solomon was incomplete in his surrender. He was influenced by his sin, but he had idols of sacrifice. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, verse 9. But verse number 7 says this, "High place for Chemosh, an abomination for Moab, and the hill is before Jerusalem, for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burned incense and sacrificed unto their gods." And I hope you understand the context of what we're reading here tonight is what's going on here is a wicked, evil, devilish, satanic thing that's going on here. They're worshiping false gods. They're building up graven images, and they're making furnaces. They're throwing children. They're throwing live human beings. They're throwing slaves into these fires, and they're sacrificing them before these false gods. And we would sit back in our fundamental Baptist pews and say, oh my word, that's so terrible. How could they do that? But you know, you and I, every single day, we make idols in our life, and we sacrifice our children to those idols, and we sacrifice our family member to those idols, and we sacrifice our times and our treasures to these idols. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? Anything you put in front of God is an idol in your life. Anything that you take and you dethrone God and put on that throne, that's an idol in your life. And God, help us when we make anything a priority over Him.
Amen.
The Bible says that He might have preeminence in all things. Christ is number one. He deserves that number one spot. He deserves the preeminence in every aspect of our life. But we make idols so many times in our lives. When I was a kid, it was sports. When I was a kid, that's what it was. It was sports. Sports kept me out of church on Wednesday night, and sports many a times kept me out of church on Sunday. As a young adult, it was work. I remember when I worked at the Dairy Queen, there was one time I worked like 35 days straight, Brother Larry. You know why? I loved making that money. I was 16 years old. I got a taste of having my own money, my own paycheck, and I'd work through the day. I'd skip school to work. I'd do whatever I could to get that paycheck. As a young adult, after I finished working there, it was hunting. They passed a law in Lincoln County, West Virginia, close to where I'm from, that you could hunt on Sundays if you wanted to. And so on Sunday, when I knew I was supposed to be in church, I was in that deer stand. And let me say this. I'm not against sports, okay? I'm not against working and making a living. I'm not against hunting deer, but there's no ball game, there's no check big enough, there's no deer in the woods big enough that it ought to take the place of God in your life. And the minute you let that become more important than God in your life, you're putting yourself in the way of trouble. You're putting yourself under the fountain of the judgment of God, just begging for it. When we put these idols in our lives, He looks down on Christendom today. He looks down at His church, and He sees a bunch of partial, halfway sold out idol worshipers. That's what He sees this evening when He sees us in our lives and we're not sold out to Him.
Amen.
He had these idols of sacrifice in His life. And not only did He have idols of sacrifice, verse number 9, look what the Bible says. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. It's an interesting statement to me. His heart was turned away from God, the same God that had appeared unto him twice, Brother Lowell. We've noticed many of the things that the Scripture of Solomon done so far, but I'd like to point out right here something that many of us Christians do. He ignored what he had seen. He ignored what he had seen. One of my dearest friends, Pastor Chad Estep, he told me when I first got started in the ministry, when I first got started preaching, he said, the most powerful thing you have is your testimony. He said, that's the most powerful thing you have. Because he said, they don't care what that book says. They don't care what church you go to. They don't care how you're dressed. But if you tell them something real that God's done for you in your life, and you mean it, that'll do something for them. I was at the Tigert Morton Juvenile Correction Facility in Dunbar, West Virginia one night. And I was preaching, and if you preached in the jails or the juvenile centers, you get heckled a lot. You get people laughing at you a lot, and they don't care what you got to say. And I was up there, and I was preaching the gospel, and I was doing my best to share the love of God with those kids. And there was this long-haired boy sitting in the back, and he didn't want to hear anything I had to say, and he was just laughing, and he was just mocking, and he was just saying this and that about it. And I got towards the end of that message, and I began to tell him about how God saved me and the life that He brought me out of it as a young person in a home where there were drugs and where there were alcohol and where there was abuse and things going on like that. And it's like his eyes locked onto mine, and when that invitation time came, he walked right past all all those other workers, and he came straight to me and he sat down. He said, you know, he said, I really wasn't listening to much all you said, but he said, you got to talking about your life and how you grew up. He said, that's just the way I grew up. That's just the way things were for me, and I can't understand it. And I've always been kind of mad at God, but you said God can change you. You said God can forgive you. You said God can bring you out of that. And I shared him the gospel, and the boy trusted Christ by faith. I said all that to say this. A lot of times we need to tell people what God's done for us. Amen. We can get up here and we can preach on these sins of commission, these things that we do outwardly with our flesh, but many a times we tend to ignore the sins of omission, the things that we ought to do that we don't do. It is a sin in your life to not tell someone about Christ. You are withholding the gospel truth from you. You are withholding the truth of God's salvation from someone who's dying and going to hell. God help us if we don't recognize. God help us if we ignore the things that God has done for us. I'm sure we could go person by person, family by family in this auditorium tonight, and we could have hands raised and somebody could testify about something great that God has done for them. Why don't we tell somebody about it? The Bible talks of Solomon in verse number 9, and it said, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. Some years ago, I was at the food pantry at Taze Valley, and I had a man come through the line, and many times the people that came through, they recognized me, they knew me, they knew my family, they knew that we were trouble, all this and that. And he came up to me, and he had tears in his eyes. And he said, I want you to tell you. He said, I know what you're into. I know what kind of shape you're in. He said, what was it? How'd you get help? How'd it change you? And many times you say it, and it sounds like a cliche to people, but I told him, I said, man, I'm telling you, it was the Lord. It wasn't church. It wasn't religion. It was Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel tonight. For it is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. Don't ignore what you've seen, church. God saved you. Go out and tell somebody about it. When I have the privilege of leading somebody to the Lord, that's one of the first things I tell them. I say, call somebody and tell them you got saved. Go see somebody and tell them you got saved. Try and tell them about Jesus. Do everything you can to let these people know what God's done for you. You know, twice it's interesting, Brother Larry, in this passage of Scripture that we've read, there's twice mentioned how that Solomon is compared to David. And I know that many times we preach on David and we focus on his faults, but let me tell you something. David loved God, David walked with God, and David did a real good job of repenting. Amen? You read the Psalms. There wasn't anybody that repented like David repented. It felt as if his bones and his very body was broken in penitence and sorrow towards God. And now Solomon is compared to him, and he says, as was his father David. He grew up, he saw the repentance. He saw that David followed after God. He saw they wanted to do something great for him. And he ignored all of it. God appeared to Solomon twice, and he ignored it. He pushed it out of his mind. He forgot about it. Don't be so quick to forget what God's done for you.
Amen. That's good.
You think back to that time you were laying in that hospital bed and God healed you. You think back to that time you were out in sin and lost and on your way to hell, and you could have died, and in a split second just like that you'd have lifted your eyes in hell, but God spared you and God gave you grace and God gave you mercy. Don't ignore what you've seen, folks. Don't ignore what God has done for you in your life. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 11, a lot of times we go to verse number 10 and we skip over to verse number 13, but verse number 11 says, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. You say, why is it so important that I tell someone about Christ? Ask the preacher Ezekiel in chapter number 3. The Bible says this, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear thy word in thy mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and givest him not a warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked of his way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. The fate of this world, the fate of those outside of these doors that are on their way to hell, rests in the responsibility of the local church and its congregants. That's you and that's I. It's our responsibility to let people know what God has done for us. Amen. Solomon ignored what he'd seen. He ignored it. And last but not least, we'll finish with this. He was influenced by his sin. He was incomplete in his surrender. He had idols of sacrifice. He ignored what he had seen, and he had instructions that he spurned. He had instructions that he has spurned. Verse number 10. and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. You know, I'd hate for my story to end with that phrase right there. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. What's verse number 11, sir? Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. He said, you were in the will of God. You had what you asked for. You were seeking my face. You were doing just fine. Your heart was right. And then you decided you'd rather take a path of disobedience. Christian, tonight, obedience is the key that opens the door to God's blessings.
Amen.
I didn't say it opens the door to an easy life, okay? I didn't say things are always going to be easy if you're obedient to God, because they're not. The Bible says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But the Bible does say this. Solomon chose to disobey God. Solomon asked for the judgment of God in his life. Solomon knew better. Solomon was the wisest man that God had ever put on this earth. And he said, no, I'm going to take those wives. I'm going to sacrifice to those idols. I'm not going to be quite as faithful as Daddy was. And all the instructions of God that God had poured into Solomon, he chose to ignore him. He had instructions that he had spurned. If you want to cure the spiritual heart problems in your heart tonight, just be obedient to God. Stay obedient to His Word. Stay obedient to His will. Listen to the calling of the Spirit as He lead you. God can do a work in your heart. God can change you. You might be in here tonight and say, preacher, I feel like I'm 100 miles from God. I feel like when I pray, the heaven's made out of brass. Maybe it's time that we examine our hearts and say, God, what is it in my heart? Is it my incomplete surrender? Is it my lukewarm faithfulness? God, is it that I have idols in my life? God, is it that I've chose to ignore Your Word and to ignore the things that I've been told Your Word? God, is it that You've done so much for me and I fail to give You the glory? I fail to tell people about it? What is it, God? What heart problems do I have tonight? Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I wonder if anybody come to the altar tonight and be honest enough and say, preacher, I got some of those problems you preached about tonight. I got some of those things going on in my life, because let me tell you, friend, if I'm being honest, there's not a day that goes by that God doesn't have to put His finger on something in my life and say, Mike, you need to get that right. Mike, you should have done better with that. You should have been more obedient. You should have said it this way. You should have done it this way. I wonder how many Christians we have here tonight who are desire to be filled with the Spirit of God. There's too much of ourselves in our hearts to be full of the Spirit of God. I wonder, would you come to the altar this evening? I'll sing a song of invitation, and if God's dealt with your heart, I invite you to come. I have decided.